With Verna Avery Brown, you are in tune to your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
Mutual aid, the act of taking care of each other, comes in many forms. One such form is supporting WPFW. At a time when so many are hurting, if you are doing well financially and want to do good, we invite you to give the gift of WPFW. Emancipatory media is truly the gift that keeps on giving. A tax-deductible donation can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org or from Sunday, December 14th through Saturday, December 20th during our pledge drive by calling 800-222-9739. It is your continued support that allows us to do the work of building a more equitable world, one broadcast at a time.
Some National Guard troops in Chicago will be home for the holidays. Is the Trump administration backpedaling on its questionable policy? And a deputy FBI director decides to jump ship. We'll talk to the one analyst, former MAGA Knight, who predicted Bongino's exit months ago. Good morning, good morning, and welcome to What's at Stake. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Well, let me just inform you right here at the top that we are in the middle of our end-of-year pledge drive, and we will be needing your support to help keep WPFW in the black. If you want to make your pledge early, the number to call is 202-588-9739. You can pledge early and often, if you like. So let's get right into our show. Lev Parnas describes himself as an I'm going to backtrack a little bit. While National Guard troops continue to patrol some neighborhoods in Washington, D.C., some hundreds of Texas troops deployed in Chicago are going home. Chicago is one of four cities engaged in legal battles, challenging the Trump administration's argument that the troops are needed to quell violence in Democratic-controlled cities, to crack down on crime, and to support his deportation initiatives. Local politicians, city administrators, activists, and residents in Chicago push back, refuting Trump's characterization of their city. Among them, the Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III, widely known as a warrior for civil and human rights. He's a preacher, an author, a filmmaker, and in this instance, a poet. Reverend Moss.
How are you?
Good morning. We're going to hear your poem first, Reverend Moss, and then we'll speak with you.
I offer this poem that I wrote, that I offer this today. This poem entitled, Keep Our Name Out Your Mouth. You do not know the beauty of this space some call the Shy, the city of big shoulders and broad dreams, the city of rib tips, Italian beef, deep dish tamales, hot dogs, no ketchup, please. We are the city that is the patchwork of God's creation, formed by great migration of Mississippi, Memphis, Arkansas, Mexico, Belfast, Warsaw, and Rome. Don't say our name if you are blind to the work of DuSable, the words of Gwendolyn, and the brush of Burroughs. Don't say our name if you don't know we invented gospel. We are the spiritual homes of Thomas A. and Mahalia J. Don't speak our name if you don't know Bronzeville birthed Lorraine Hansberry, Marlon Gibbs, and a king named Nat Cole. We keep our name out your mouth. We, the city of the Shy, the black, white, Latino, Asian, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, Protestant, Pentecostal, Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, sanctified, holiness, humanist, agnostic, atheist, Anglican, queer, Quaker, suburban, urban, bougie, broke, ratchet, and redneck. Keep our name out your mouth. We, the people of this place called the Shy, from the south to the north, to the east, to the west, disagree on many things, but one thing we agree, we love this city. We will fight for this city. We stand for this city. We built this city. We will defend this city and the rights of all in this city. We say unequivocally to those with unmerited privilege who occupy space temporarily in a city built by a black man named Banneker, I say for the final time this day, keep our name out your mouth.
Dr. Otis Moss III, the Supreme Court has not yet issued a definitive ruling on President Trump's deployment of the National Guard in Chicago, leaving the legal situation in flux. Joining us now is the Dr. Reverend Otis Moss III, senior pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. He's a third-generation warrior for social justice. His grandfather, Otis Moss Sr., walked 24 miles in one day in his suit and tie and dress shoes to three different polling places in order to vote in Troop, Georgia, back in 1946, but to no avail. He was not allowed to vote. His father, Otis Moss Jr., was a sought-after preacher, activist, scholar, who walked alongside Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama, and was at the signing of the Voting Rights Act. And the Reverend Otis Moss III is a liberation theologist who's been named one of the 12 most effective preachers in the English language. He graduated from Morehouse with honors and has a Master's of Divinity from Yale. His focus is on inner city youth, mass incarceration, environmental justice, and economic inequality. Good morning, Dr. Reverend Dr. Moss III. Welcome to What's at Stake.
Thank you so much. Good morning to you. It is a delight to be with you this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are some pretty big shoes you have to fill, but it seems you have risen effortlessly to the occasion. Do you feel the pressure?
That's very kind for you to say. You know, I was told by my father and several elders said, never wear someone else's shoes. You have your own shoes that you have to wear.
Yes, and you're wearing your shoes and wearing them well. So now, look, Trump is calling back several hundred National Guard troops out of Chicago today. What's your reaction to that and your opinion as to why he sent them to your city to begin with?
Well, they should have never been sent to begin with. There is a kind of narcissistic, toddler-esque aspect to the way the president operates. Number one, the city of Chicago, the county of Cook County, which we're a part of, the state of Chicago, all of us have been aligned, whether you are activists in the faith community, civic bureaucracy has been aligned in reference to the fact that troops should not be sent to this city. It is the role of the governor to ask for that or to deploy those troops. The reason they were sent to Chicago is simply an age-old issue, actually a disease I like to call COVID-1619 or the Confederate fanboy that functions in the White House at this point. And it was simply centered around this idea of race. They're deploying into cities that are considered to be blue, cities that are that have elected officials who are women, who are people of color. And this is essentially a power play for the very small Trump base that gets excited about these activities.
Now, you say small Trump base. I know you speak of a plan in which you call puppet masters are controlling the puppet. Now, how does this deployment of the National Guard fit into that plan?
Well, it continues this dragging and destruction of the Constitution. The person really behind the throne, I said it this way the other Sunday. I said, those who know Game of Thrones, there is a character known as King Joffrey. King Joffrey was unethical, toddler-esque, narcissistic, and all that. But the real power was behind the throne, Cersei Lannister, Joffrey's mother, and other individuals who were directing how the throne would function. We see behind the throne, policy-wise, Stephen Miller. We see Stephen Miller. We also see the person who is behind the Project 2025, but also the tech bros or the Silicon Valley crew from the Peter Thiels to the Larry Ellisons and others. And essentially, this is to create a situation where these issues then go before the Supreme Court. We have a Supreme Court currently now that is not calling balls and strikes, as Roberts claimed, but is essentially giving more power to the executive branch. And as a result, it opens up a wide doorway for tech companies not to have guardrails, whether it is Congress that is not doing its job, whether there is no investigation in reference to how tech companies are deploying their data centers for AI in reference to the environmental effects. This is all essentially about, when you boil it down to, capitalism. And capitalism functions in order for profit to be the primary motive, not principle, not ethics, not human thriving. And that's what this deployment is about. It's a combination of narcissism, capitalism, and also this idea of slowly decaying our constitutional rights.
Hmm. So you speak of a gentleman by the name of Curtis Yarvin and Rage. Yes. Who is Curtis Yarvin and what is Rage?
Curtis Yarvin is a particular right wing, quote unquote, philosopher. And I use that very loosely. Curtis Yarvin is a person who has influenced Peter Thiel, one of the founders of PayPal, along with Elon Musk, and he does not believe in democracy. He also believes that people of African descent and other people of color are not as, quote, intellectually at the level of, quote, people of European descent. And that there needs to be a monarch. And this idea of Rage is essentially what Doge does. Doge, in terms of what was called the Department of Government Efficiency. But in actuality, this Rage is the idea of removing all of the stopgaps and programs within a government. Be able to cut those things down. The acronym is escaping me at this moment. But Elon Musk borrows from the idea of Yarvin. He borrows from Peter Thiel in terms of you have to remove all of the guardrails in order for, quote unquote, business to be able to thrive. And Yarvin has been the intellectual mentor for these individuals. J.D. Vance is another person who has lifted up Yarvin in reference to his ideas. And most Americans don't know about this, and I use in quotes, philosopher who has been influencing some of the wealthiest people in the nation.
So you're saying our Vice President J.D. Vance has been mentored by Curtis Yarvin, who doesn't believe in democracy.
Exactly. So you have Peter Thiel, who is an acolyte of Yarvin. And Thiel has also been the major backer to J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance makes this major shift from his hillbilly elegy, and where he's critiquing Trump. Almost seemed like he was a never Trumper. But then Thiel and the tech bros find a perfect person to be able to fund and push forth their agenda that is wrapped in this Yarvin-esque ideas of monarchy over democracy. And J.D. Vance becomes, again, he's on the throne. But there's somebody behind the throne who actually bought and paid for the throne.
Mm. So if Trump somehow is unable to finish out his term, then we have J.D. Vance waiting in the wings. Okay. One of the issues you focus on is economic inequality, and you were among those calling for an economic blackout between November 25th and December 5th. Do you have any way of determining whether that campaign made an impact? Actually or not?
Well, we do know on the target side, my Morehouse brother, Jamal Bryant, who has been pushing forth on that one, that Target saw its stock go down 30%. Target's CEO had to resign. Target made a miscalculation. They have lost a considerable number of their customers, African-American customers, who will never go back to Target. Now, what's very interesting is the quote unquote winner around all of this from some of the reading that I've done is a group called Costco. that some of the black folk end up going to Costco And Costco has benefited, and Costco has been very clear. We are not backing down from our particular values. And and people have been happy to sign up for, I'm not promoting Costco or whatnot and things of that nature, but I just find it fascinating. Here are our values. We don't back down. Target, the only reason Target got targeted is because they, not the Black community, they said, we want to reinvest in the Black community. We want to support what is happening in the Black community. We want to expand in the Black. And then they pulled back once Trump was elected and they got caught in the moment. And as a result, they have been hurt. But the economic boycott did a second thing that we've seen locally is that we have asked people to shop local. We've asked people to shop in local businesses. And we have received numerous communication from local Black and brown businesses that have been saying, thank you. They've seen an increase of people who are now shopping and connecting with businesses where they actually know the owner. And that's what we're talking about, building relationships with people in a local ecosystem.
So let me ask you this, Reverend. Were there demands made of Target and Walmart and Amazon with that action? Wouldn't it need to be a sustained action for much longer than a week in order to really pose a serious threat?
Yes. Well, the Target piece has been going on for a little bit longer. There were actual demands, and simple Target piece was this. The commitment that you made before November, return to that commitment. End of story. Just make that commitment of the reinvestment in the African-American community. You said you were going to do an expansion of DEI. You said that you would do an expansion of community work and all of this. We didn't. Target did. And those were the particular demands. The boycott between the Black Friday and Cyber Monday was specific to shift the focus in and around, from our perspective in Chicago, was around local. We always like to say that Amazon never blessed you personally. They may have sent something to your house, but they didn't necessarily invest in the HBCU, invest in the development of your local economy, invest in some of these wonderful local businesses. Let's lift them up. That became the focus. And we put out a list of businesses that you could utilize. We then created a Christmas bazaar where we brought in local businesses that immediately after service, you could do all of your holiday shopping with businesses that were locally owned or right behind the church. And it was a huge success.
So, Reverend, so you're the minister. How many members? You have a pretty large, you have a mega church, do you not? How many members in your church?
We have about 8,500 members.
So your church and other churches around the country, what is their role in all of this, in all of these dire circumstances that people, our community is facing? Is it just the economic aspect targeting, you know, places like Target and Amazon and Walmart, or is there another role for the churches to play?
Well, without a doubt, it's creating kind of a moral center, to create a moral center. The moral imagination and helping people understand moral courage from a spiritual frame. Within the African-American community, there is something known as the Black church tradition or the Black spirituality. Specifically, as scholars call it, the Black social gospel. Not every church functions in this manner. But within the African-American community, there has been a segment of faith communities, not just leaders, faith communities that have been alternatives to the way in which the world functions. It begins in the 1700s with resistance and what was called hush harbors, the creation of the Underground Railroad. If you move into Reconstruction, the people who moved into to the Senate and to the Congress organized in many ways through a network in churches, that when people were looking for lost family, for those families that were separated during the enslavement movement, in bulletins, in Black churches across the nation, they would say, have you seen Sarah, a 10-year-old girl with with light brown eyes. I mean, this is a part of the church. The lynching moment was in partnership in terms of it, explaining and helping people fight against lynching with Ida B. Wells, W.E.B. Du Bois, and the founding of what was known as the NAACP, or before that, the Niagara Movement, along with also A. Philip Randolph and the Pullman Porters Organization, all the way to the Civil Rights Movement. This is a moral grounding of how do we flourish as human beings and live out the idea of love and justice. This is what Jesus calls us to do. There are other traditions out there. The evangelicals do their thing, but the Black church has been rolling along saying that we've got to function with love and justice. And this has been happening since the moment we landed on this soil.
But, you know, our motto here at WPFW is jazz and justice. And I read where you have an appreciation for jazz and hip hop. What role do you think, if any, jazz and hip hop or music plays in fueling the new movement for social justice?
Oh, come on. I love that. You know, jazz is the most democratic form of music, in the words of Wynton Marsalis and Cornel West, that America has ever seen. It's uniquely American. It teaches us democracy before America even understood what democracy was all about. Only in jazz music where do you have a moment in a situation where everybody takes instruments that are not supposed to play together. The saxophone was created for the marching band, and the trap drum set was not to use African polyrhythms. The bass was supposed to be played with a bow, not your fingers. And then the piano was from the European classical set. But every musician in jazz is given the right to solo. In other words, I get a chance to be able to interpret this particular narrative out of my own particular perspective. And the piano never tells the drum sound just like me. That would be colonialism. The bass does not tell the saxophone sound like me. Everybody is given the right to solo. So people of African, teaching America what democracy was all about before America even understood what democracy was.
Mm. Dr. Reverend Otis Moss III, senior pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, a poet, an activist, a filmmaker, and author of Dancing in the Darkness. He says he lives in the matrix of faith, social justice, media, and the arts. Thank you so much for being our guest this morning on What's at Stake, Dr. Otis Moss III.
It's my delight. Thank you so much.
Okay. And I want to introduce our program director now, Katia Stitt. Katia Stitt.
Hi, Verna. I'm here, but I'm not hearing you, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to switch with Mike. I'm actually in studio. Hold on.
Okay. She will be joining us momentarily. We're going to invite our listeners to basically show their support for our radio station at this time. You know, supporting WPFW is supporting civic courage. It's an investment in truth, dignity, and community accountability. And we invite you to go to your phones now and make a call and make a pledge at 202-588-9739. That number again is 202-588-9739.
And Verna?
Yes.
You know,
go ahead, Katia.
Good morning, and good morning to you, Reverend Moss. You know, some folks have already heard you. They heard that discussion, the riveting discussion, and they had to do it. They had to pledge. So we are in need of only $300 now on What's at Stake. We have a friend out of Silver Spring who became a sustaining member today. Thank you so much, friend.
Wow.
Greatly appreciate
you, friend.
That. And all the way from Greensboro, North Carolina. I know they say it differently.
Oh, wow.
James D. And he says, What's at Stake? And Verna A. Avery Brown, continue to be essential in these turbulent times, jazz and justice. I think picking up on Reverend Moss's riff on hip hop and jazz, So, you know, he mentioned a little Cornel West and a little Wynton Marsalis. So there we go. So, yes, $300 to go, y'all. We can do this together. It's a good day to pledge to WPFW. It's a good day to support What's at Stake, a program that definitely supports you. Verna Avery Brown being the executive producer of this collective, but all strong collective members. And so $300
absolutely
is a light lift. And again, many hands do make light work. The number to call, 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org.
Or you can use your Cash App. That would be the $ WPFWFM and make a contribution there. And that number, again, locally is 202-588-9739. Because, you know, this is really, listener support protects editorial independence. Justice-centered media cannot rely on corporate advisors or political interests. We have to stand on our own, and we can only do that with the help of you, the listener. So go to your phones and make a pledge right now, 202-588-9739.
And go ahead. No, Serena, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
I was just... You go ahead.
I just wanted to thank Reverend Otis Moss Jr., the third, rather, for joining us this morning on What's at Stake. It's been a pleasure. Katia?
I was just saying that, you know, one of the reasons, tying into what Dr. Moss has been doing, WPFW has been out at the Target rallies every Saturday since they began, and they are continuing. It hasn't been just they called for the major one that one week after Black Friday, but and we had Reverend Jamal Bowman here, Tamika Mallory was here speaking, but there has been a cadre of protesters, activists out at Target, and they have lost, as Reverend Moss pointed out, because of the people's power, they have lost money. And so what better place to put your money that you're not spending at Target than here in the coffers of WPFW, here supporting the good work, the journalistic and integral work of Verna Avery Brown. $300 to go, 800-222-9739, or you can or Cash App at $WPFWFM.org. Verna, I will come back and join you a bit later.
Okay, and we are going to bid the good Reverend goodbye, and thank you again for being our guest this morning. We're going to take a quick break now, and when we come back, he was indoctrinated into the MAGA cult, Lev Parnas. Now he's extricated, but still has contacts on the inside, and his predictions are coming true, as we'll see this morning. We'll be back in a moment.
This is your social justice calendar for the week of December 15th, 2025. On Thursday, December 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. in the space of Ifade, Wanda will host its second Sisterhood Supper, Kwanzaa Celebration, a night of food, fellowship, culture, and collective purpose, located on 1734 20th Street, Northwest DC. For more info, visit imwanda.org. Also on Thursday, December 18th at 7 p.m., Human Rights First and CASA will host a screening and discussion of Crackdown, a new documentary from the award-winning Fault Lines team at Al Jazeera English, investigating Trump's immigration crackdown from court arrest to deportations without due process. For more info, visit busboysandpoets.com. WPFW's social justice calendar connects you to grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. This is due by Thursday at 5 p.m. at least 1 week in advance of your event. And don't forget to donate to our Winter Pledge Drive. WPFW's social justice calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
And welcome back to What's at Stake. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Well, Lev Parnas describes himself as an adolescent hustler who is perfecting his con game while other kids were playing kid games on the playground. He grew up to become a small-time mafia operator, and then he met Donald Trump. Parnas says he knew a hustler when he saw one, But he got hustled into the biggest con in American history, the MAGA cult. Trump counsel Rudolph Giuliani recruited him to go back to his home country, Ukraine, and dig up some dirt on President Biden's son, Hunter, so Trump could win the election. There was no dirt, and Trump didn't win that election. Well, after the MAGA spell wore off and Parnas was being set up as a fall guy, he threw Trump under the bus, announced publicly that Trump knew all about what he was tasked to do in Ukraine, but it didn't stick. Trump just denied even knowing him, and ultimately he was sentenced to 20 months in prison and $2 million in restitution for illegal donations to, ironically, Trump's campaign. So fast forward to 2025, Parnas has done his time. He's turned over a new leaf in life. He and his wife are raising their, I think it's 7 kids, and he's spending his days working against the Trump administration. Good morning, Lev Parnas, and welcome back to What's at Stake.
And good morning, Verna. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So, Lev, you have broken the spell MAGA had on you, and however, you apparently still have connections with the insiders. You made a prediction months ago that was confirmed last night. Dan Bongino is on his way out. Lev, tell us, who is Dan Bongino, and why is this significant that he's leaving the administration?
Absolutely. Thanks, Verna. This is extremely big news, especially coming on the tails of Vanity Fair article that came out with Susie Wiles. This is a combination of what's going on in the breakup of MAGA and the cracks and what's happening. So first of all, it wasn't a prediction. It was really good sources that are located inside of the Trump House, White House still, people that I've known for many, many years and that are worried to see where our democracy is headed. So Dan Bongino is the second in command in the FBI. He used to be a Secret Service agent, then became, he actually worked for the Obama, was a Secret Service agent on Obama's, when he was president. Then he started turning far right. He became far right podcaster and built his career primarily supporting Donald Trump, MAGA, but primarily on the Epstein files. His main thing, making all his money, all his podcasting, was about how he was going to uncover the Epstein files, how the Epstein files, was the worst of the worst, pedophilia, and so on and so on. Well, when he became the FBI director, second in command to Cash Patel, he obviously got a chance to see the Epstein files. We also seen the debacle that has transpired with the Epstein files that has been going on since Trump has been trying to cover them up. Since the day in that fateful day, July 6th, when they tried to cover up the Epstein files by shutting down the investigation with that notice. Ever since then, Dan Bongino has not been in contact with President Trump. Ever since then, they've been in fighting between Susie Wiles, Pam Bondi, and going back and forth. Ever since then, you have not seen Dan Bongino nowhere on television discussing the Epstein files. And from what my sources have been telling me for the past several months, he's been planning an escape route to get out and to be able because he understands, he sees the writing on the wall that the Epstein files are going to be coming out. Eventually, it's going to be Trump's downfall, and he's not, doesn't want to be holding the bag when the music stops, basically. And that's what you're seeing with Susie Wiles also.
I wonder why now. I mean, well, first of all, people leave the Trump administrations, all of his administrations, all the time. What makes this significant, more significant?
Well, the timing is significant because of everything that's playing out right now. There's a perfect storm being built, and this is where I tell all the followers, all the subscribers, all the people listening that now is not time to celebrate, but now is a time to push a lot harder and make our voices even louder, because Trump isn't on defense. He's in disarray. After November 4th, when the people came out and voted and showed the strength in the elections in Georgia, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, that rattled him. Ever since then, he's been rattled. Then we had, you know, great elections here in Florida and Miami, where Democratic, I know it's a Miami race. I mean, it was a mayor race, but still a Democratic mayor won where a seat that almost 30 years the Republicans held. So they're seeing the writing on the wall. They see that his numbers are at the lowest that any president or anybody's ever had. They understand that the midterms are coming. There's also major rifts happening between Marjorie Taylor Greene and we're watching on the outside, but nobody's understanding what's really happening on the inside. There's a battle right now going on for that MAGA base. It's no longer MAGA. It's now turning into America First. And if you, America First was really indoctrinated and started back in the 1930s by the white supremacists, the white movement trying to, you know, during the Nazi era. And that's why you're seeing all of this alignment in with the Nick Fuentes's, the Tucker Carlson, the Candace Owens's going out there and pushing that agenda. So you have a lot of disarray happening around, and that's why right now, also from what my sources are telling me, we're going to see a lot of congressmen and women not show up, retire. And I can't mention of all the names right now because until I confirm them. But once I confirm them, I will be breaking it on my Substack. But we are going to see a mass exodus and Trump and Susie Wiles. And they're all seeing it. People like Stephen Miller, Russell Vaught, who are the architects behind this whole thing, are seeing it. And that's why they're making such a push right now with Venezuela, because the only thing that could stop the what's happening is if he invokes martial law during an invasion into Venezuela. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Let's go back to the Congress piece. You said that we're going to see a mass exodus of Republican congressmen and women. Yeah. How soon?
I mean, it's behind the scenes, it's already started. There's already congressmen and women that have said that they are going to retire. Some have said that they're going to take long leaves of absence. Some said they're just might be feeling sick on certain votes. So there's a major push against Johnson, and you saw it happen in Indiana. You saw how they stood up to him in Indiana by now redistricting. So there's a lot of behind the scenes where, believe me, right now it's a little bit because of the holidays. They're trying to do a lot of this stuff while the media is not paying attention to what's happening. But come the new year, you're going to see a lot of movement. You're going to see a lot of things happening in the Trump administration.
So this sounds like you're suggesting that this may happen even before the midterm elections come up.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We do not have a leadership in the Democratic Party, and that's why we still don't have the gavel. Because if we would have had a strong leader, we would be able to already have the gavel because of the craziness that's going inside the MAGA and the Republican and the GOP. But I feel from what I'm hearing and from what my sources are telling me, that just by this, because of the narrow margins that are already there, and that if enough of them basically not show up, we might get the gavel just back into it by before the midterms, actually. Yes.
So now, Lev, you have a warning about Marjorie Taylor Greene and the America First movement. People are getting excited that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is, anti-Trump now. But you're saying there's a warning. What are you fearful of in that regard?
Yeah, no, very important. Do not believe the hype. Do not believe what she's saying. Yes, it's good that she's helping turning on Trump. But she's doing it not because she has an awakening. She's not doing it because she has she's born again. She's doing it because there's a rift inside. What is MAGA? When we built MAGA in 2015, 2016, we tapped into, when I say we, because I was part of that movement. I'm not just some pundit. I'm not just somebody giving my opinion. I was actually part of making MAGA. When we started MAGA in 2015, 16, we tapped into a group of people in the United States that did not come out and vote. This was a group of people that were basically white supremacists, people that were far right MAGA that believed America First, didn't want to, deal with Europe, didn't want foreigners inside our country, racist. I mean, all of that was that group. And the reason they never voted is because there was nobody ever on the right or on the left that would ever support their values. So they just kept quiet. Trump tapped into that group. And that group is really not MAGA. They're really America First. It's that 1930s movement of white supremacist, far right group of people that Marjorie Taylor Greene right now, Tucker Carlson and others behind the scenes in the Republican Party are trying to tap and take away, because they are the people that are now turning on Trump because of Trump's foreign policy, because of the way Trump is handling the Epstein files, because of the way Trump is responding to them. So this is what she's actually doing. She's not going against Trump to save our democracy. She's going against Trump to be able to take away part of that base, because Trump, they feel Trump is on his way out, and they're trying to save that movement to be able to move forward and maybe pass it on to either J.D. Vance or have her run in one of the elections.
And the role that the Epstein files are playing in all of this seems as though they are triggering these exits. Would you agree to that?
The Epstein files started it, and that was the biggest. That was the kryptonite, as I call it, Superman's. Mm-hmm. That was Trump's kryptonite. That started the way he responded, the way he covered it up. That started a mess up. But I think now we're seeing a major combination, because right now we're seeing our economy is very bad. People can't afford groceries, so that's hitting hard, especially during the holidays, as tariffs are destroying us. We see how he's dealing with the Middle East. We see how he's dealing with Eastern Europe. People are dying. He's not stopping wars. He's lying. We see that he's more concerned about building ballrooms than stopping, saving people's lives. The use of ICE and immigration, the fact that they're, arresting, forget about even immigrants, but arresting American citizens, ripping their families apart. That's all being played out. That's why his numbers are so low. And that's why people like Susie Wiles, people like Russell Vaught, and the people that are actually running the White House, because Donald Trump is a figure piece. He doesn't run the White House. He basically is out there right now living his bucket list. That's why you see him going to football games and going traveling, going to England, wanting to feel like a king. None of this is policy. None of this is about democracy. None of this is about saving or changing anything to help the world. It's all about personal intentions and trying to steal as much money as they can out of the system.
So you're saying Susie Wiles is actually our president?
Susie Wiles, yeah. I mean, Donald Trump told you, in his own words, that she's the second most powerful person in America. He even called her Susie Trump. Susie Wiles, the people running our country basically are Russell Vaught, Susie Wiles, and Stephen Miller. Those are the three right now running the White House, and they basically are telling, and you're seeing all of these policies play out. But Susie Wiles is not on the same level as Stephen Miller and Russell Vaught. Those are hardcore Project 2025 right-wing supremacists. You know what I'm saying? Susie Wiles is a political animal. She comes from a group, down here in South Florida called Ballard and Associates, is a lobbying group where she is very astute and knows what she's doing. So the reason why she did that interview was a power play to be able to start planning her exit escape and setting up the groundwork that when we do have accountability, when people are going to be brought up on trial for all these things that they're doing, she's going to come out and say, you see, I was trying to stop this. I was telling, no, I didn't have the power. I was leading. And that's what the setup, and they know it. I spoke to some of my sources last night. Trump is pissed off at her. The trust is done. What you're seeing play out right now, and you're going to see play out in for the next little bit, is game, because they're trying to, do damage control behind the scenes, because she is, a major powerhouse in that administration. So it's just the beginning. And like they say, the rats are starting to run from the sinking ship.
Very quickly, Lev, in the 2 minutes that we have left, let's talk about Ukraine, your home country. Yeah. A so-called peace plan is being hammered out by Kushner and President that President Volodymyr Zelensky is reportedly agreeing to. What are your sources reporting on that?
No, that's false. They're not. Zelensky has not agreed and will not agree to, because it's not a peace plan. It's basically a surrender plan. What Zelensky has, what they're talking about, as far as they're saying that they have some sort of movement, is Zelensky said that he would be willing to give up NATO application as long as they got Article 5 protection. Trump's not planning on giving them any Article 5 protection. What Trump's plan is to make sure to put the Europeans under the gun. He wants the Europeans to be involved. And the reason why is because Putin is setting this up, because Putin is the one that's putting this all out there, setting it up, because the bigger play is not just Ukraine. The bigger play is to take over Eastern Europe and become the powerhouse. They're basically divvying up control of property, land, and minerals and oil. This is what this is all about. That's why you see Jared Kushner in the mix. I know Jared Kushner very well. Jared Kushner is not a geopolitical analyst. He doesn't know where even Russia or Ukraine is on the map. The reason Jared Kushner is there is because he's trying to figure out how much money they could steal and how much more they could put in their pockets.
So what does Putin have on Trump, Les?
A lot, but it's not what people think. Most people still go back to the P-tape. People go back to that 2015-16, and that was what I think helped Trump, because that was a lot of false information. What Putin has on Trump is 40 years, and I'm working on it, and this is a story I'll be breaking soon as I have it finished. I've been working on it for 6 months, but for the past 40 years, they've been basically controlling Trump's movement. They've been supporting him here in the United States, giving him money. And see what happened. Let me reframe and take it back. Organizations like the KGB, like Secret Services, they target wealthy people, people with power, people with connections all over the world. But they target people that have narcissism. They target people that are willing to cross the line, willing to lie, willing to do things for money and power. Trump fit that mold perfectly for them. He was a rich, powerful man that ran in powerful circles, that was willing to break any law, do anything to be able to make the money and be powerful. So they've been with him ever since he first married his first wife, Ivana, from Czechoslovakia. I knew Ivana very well. Me and her were very close friends before she passed away. So that's why what I'm saying to you is they were basically, if you take a look at Trump's history, every time he had money problems, the Russians bailed him out. Every time, yeah. So they basically...
So they own him.
They own
Putin him. Owns him.
He owns him. And what Trump found out through this thing is that it wasn't... how he found out was because Epstein, not only Epstein, but Bannon, Epstein, and a lot of other people in Trump's world have been giving willingly and unwillingly information to the Russians about Trump for already a very long time. A lot of these people, you got to understand, a lot of these people that have wives, girlfriends, mistresses from Eastern Europe, in the 90s were sent in by Putin and the Russian and the KGB to marry, to go out with a lot of these powerful, influential people that are still actually KGB agents that are right now living with some of the most powerful men here in the United States, sleeping with them, doing it to be able to transform information. And that was Trump's circle, Epstein's circle. That's where the Epstein files are, so because it all comes down to you know, not only the pedophilia, but money, power, and espionage.
Okay, Lev Parnas, host of the Lev Remembers podcast and the author of Shadow Diplomacy, The Wild Ride from Brooklyn to Donald Trump's Inner Circle. Lev, thank you so much for being our guest again this morning on What's at Stake.
Myrna, thank you for having me. God bless you. Have a happy holidays to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you as well. And you and your family, your seven
Take
kids.
Thank you. Have a great day. Take care.
You guys. Too now. Bye-bye. So I want to, our program director, Katia Stitch, is joining me in the studio at this time. Katia,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, indeed, Verna. And again, another riveting and fascinating conversation with Mr. Parnas. Thank you so much for this. As always, a fine job producing this program. And we ask you to go to the phones now. We are still in need of $300 this hour, and we have 12 minutes to do it. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are two of the ways you can connect with us. You can also use Cash App at $WPFWFM. And Verna, enlighten the people on some of the wonderful programming you've done over this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
there were so many. Yes.
The one that comes immediately to mind is the story with an editor, an author, Charlene Dem, I believe. She talked about how there was oil in Oklahoma, and that oil is really what fueled the attack, the massacre on Black Wall Street, and that many in Oklahoma, many of the Blacks benefited from that oil that was on their land. Mm-hmm. And, it sort of triggered that whole massacre because the whites realized after they had pushed the Native Americans over to Oklahoma, then they realized, oh my God, there's oil in them, our lands. Mm-hmm. And they wanted it back. And they massacred not only Blacks, but the Native Americans as well. And right. So that to me was really intriguing because I wasn't aware of that. And I since learned that a number of other people weren't aware of that as well.
Yes.
But, I want to remind our listeners. Go ahead.
No, please go ahead. I was going to say, oftentimes the work that you all do on What's at Stake, our listeners and myself included, learn so much. I know that you've just recently added Kimmon Freeman as one of the hosts of What's at Stake, and you all have been doing a wonderful job covering what's happening here in D.C. on the ground with Free D.C. and with the occupation of D.C. And that's just one example of the great work that you have done over this year, mm-hmm. both leading the collective and your own work.
We do have an awesome collective. Kimmon Freeman, as you mentioned, he's an activist. He's on the front lines. He's not just standing back, giving reports. He's out there sometimes, probably with the megaphone, and he's and we can depend on him to give us have his pulse on what's happening in our city, in Washington D.C. He's right there in the mix. And pretty soon he's going to be announcing some political ambitions that he has. But we also have, let me give the number out, and I'm going to tell you about others in our collective, 202-588-9739. Again, that's 202-588-9739, because we really want to make our goal, folks.
Right.
And we only need $300.
Only $300.
I know there are folks out there, that's right, somebody that can do the whole $300. You know who you are. But if not, every bit helps. Every bit matters. So others in our collective are Dr. Marcia Coleman Adebayo. She is a whistleblower. She single-handedly sued the EPA and won. And some of the congressional legislation that was the No Fear Act was passed as a result of her activism and her work around that. And she is now laser focused on the fact that big developers are desecrating the burial grounds of our ancestors. So we have Marcia Coleman Adebayo. We have Fahima Seck, Professor Seck. She engages in very one-on-one intense interviews with activists, educators, politicians, and she brings us that on the fifth Wednesday of the month. So we don't get her as often as we'd like, but we get her on the fifth Wednesday of the month, Professor Fahima Seck. So please go to your phones right now and make a call. You're pledging to keep this station in the black. Justice works needs a home, and WPFW is that home, and it exists because listeners can sustain it. And that's where you come in. We need you to help sustain this. 202-588-9739 or Cash App.
Woo! Woo.
Dollar sign WPFWFM.
I got so excited, Verna, because the screen just flipped. We have only $175 to go. We want to thank Tommy and Joanne Grady. Thank you so much, Tommy and Joanne, out of Bowie, Maryland.
Tommy,
thank you
Joanne.
So much.
Yes.
$175 to go, you all. 7 minutes to do it. We can do this together, folks. Many hands make very light work. 800-222 800-282-9739. We've been off to such a great start this morning, and we want to continue that momentum. And you make everything here possible. This is your only opportunity to pledge your support, to be in solidarity with what's at stake in Verna Avery Brown. Mm-hmm. So please make it worth it this morning. Be in solidarity and invest in that which invests in you. $175 to go. The number to call, 202-588. Yes. 202-588-9739 or WPFWFM.org.
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Up next, Dr. E. Faye Williams with Wake Up and Stay Woke. Thank you to my engineer extraordinaire, Michael Nasella, and to my program director, Katia Stitt. Be well.
Anacostia. From December 11th through the 22nd, Anacostia is celebrating 12 days of joy along Marion Barry and MLK Jr. Avenue Southeast. Festive, free events and experiences from the annual Emoja Holiday Market to hands-on maker workshops and live concerts. With a Joy Pass, there will be surprise drops of joy with prizes and treats at participating businesses. 12 days of joy and holiday magic in Anacostia. Art2Gogo.org for more info.
Fellow members and supporters of WPFW, as you contemplate your year-end giving, if you are required to take a minimum distribution from your IRA, please join many of our donors and make a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA to WPFW. A QCD can satisfy all or part of your RMD from your IRA, and you can exclude that amount from your taxable income. To learn more about these and other tax-wise giving methods, please visit our website or send us an email at plangiving@wpfw.org. And as always, thank you so much for your continued support.
Inviting all D.C. hand dancers, Philly boppers, Chicago steppers, Carolina shaggers, and West Coast swingers. The Treehouse Dreamers venue offers dance music from Motown and more every Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. at 4722 14th Street Northwest. DJ Jam and Dave and other fine DJs provide an atmosphere offering seniors socialization while getting much-needed quality movement through familiar tunes and dance every Friday. Details at 301-922-4064. That's 301-922-4064. WPFW offering wellness through dance, one activity at a time.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
This is a special invitation, a call for entries to We the 92%, an anthology of Black women's documenting this time. Your essays, poetry, prayers of resistance, open letters, and more, preserving our voices, our truths, and our testimony in a time when our history is being rewritten, challenged, and erased, are being accepted. Submission deadline is midnight, December 20th. Details at wethe92.com.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Mutual aid, the act of taking care of each other, comes in many forms. One such form is supporting WPFW. At a time when so many are hurting, if you are doing well financially and want to do good, we invite you to give the gift of WPFW. Emancipatory media is truly the gift that keeps on giving. A tax-deductible donation can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org or from Sunday, December 14th through Saturday, December 20th during our pledge drive by calling 800-222-9739. It is your continued support that allows us to do the work of building a more equitable world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good morning, everybody. It's still Human Rights Month, but you wouldn't know it by all the stuff that's going on in the world. So why don't you play your part in making this a great human rights?